It was pretty bad for England yesterday, wasn't it? Let's talk to our man down under from ESPN Crick Info, and that's George De Bell. Morning, George.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm really, really good. How are you, and what was it like watching that yesterday firsthand?
It was painful, and I'm coming home. So, I mean, you know, that doesn't matter. But it was, it wasn't a surprise to me. I thought it was a real danger that it could happen, and it shouldn't be seen as a shock or out of the blue. The better team won, I'm afraid to say, and the better team were Bangladesh.
I think that the surprising thing is, well, maybe not a surprise, but the upsetting thing is that we've had such a long time to prepare for this World Cup. We've moved Ashes series around to prepare for this World Cup, and we've still not been able to get it right. Why is that?
Because probably the longer, I genuinely mean this, the longer that people spend in the England environment, the worse they get. I mean, there's quite a lot of evidence to support that. And so actually, the more time that they spend together, probably the worse they get. It's no coincidence as well that you look at some of the younger players, and they've done quite well. I thought Josh Butler, actually, did very well yesterday in a difficult situation yesterday. I think Joe Root's had a pretty good World Cup, relatively speaking. But the senior players who have been so disappointing. But it shouldn't be a shock just to pick you up on that, because we've actually now lost three out of our four last ODIs to Bangladesh. You know, we played five games in this World Cup, we lost four of them. We have been bowled out, I think it is 14 out of 21 times. We've hardly won any games in World Cups. Going back to the final of 1992, I think we've beaten top eight test teams five times in, six World Cups. So this was an accident waiting to happen, and it mustn't be ignored. We mustn't dismiss it as one of those days or a bad day at the office or anything like that. We must really look at the reasons why. And I think the reasons why are the England environment, the England culture, Loughborough, as I call it, and associated issues to that, and not county cricket. But, you know, other people will take a different view.
I mean, a lot of talk now is about the future of Peter Moores. I mean, there's new people coming in at the ECB, as we know, with the former Yorkshire guy, Colin Graves, going in. And Peter Moores, not his choice. Do you think they're going to be making a change at the England coaching structure? Do you think that would be where they look at now?
Well, I'm sure they're looking at it. Of course they are. I mean, when you say it's not Colin Graves' choice, it's worth saying that Colin Graves was deputy chairman when that decision was made. Colin Graves was deputy chairman when Downton was appointed. He was deputy chairman when KT was sacked. You know, Colin Graves may want to distance himself from one or two of these things, but one or two of us will have some memories. So I think Colin Graves has to be a wee bit careful there. By the way, he hasn't started yet. He's not actually chairman. He's chairman-elect. So, you know, I think Colin Graves needs to reflect a little bit more before someone making some of the changes that he is mulling over. The issue with Peter Moores is all very well if you think that Peter Moores was to blame. I happen to think that Peter Moores is a good guy. He's a well-meaning fellow. He's hard-working. He's not particularly effective. I don't think he's the main problem. I just think that if it had been Ashley Giles, England might have done a little bit better. If it had been Jason Gillespie, they might have done a little bit better. I just don't think that's the big problem. And I just think if you sack him and only sack him and think that that's the solution, you're just going to be sacking someone else in 18 months, anything that will change the name on the door. So I think we've got to be a bit more sophisticated about it and not knee-jerk. And I fear that the focal point of anger will be Peter Moores and Paul Downton. And absolutely, I think that Paul Downton is, again, he's a nice fella. He's utterly useless, honestly he is. You won't find anyone involved in English cricket to defend him at this stage off the record. And you might as well have given all the money that's been spent on him to an owl sanctuary. And English cricket, I promise you, hand on my heart, I think would be better off. Because I think all he's done is interfere and make things worse. But I still don't think he's the problem. The problem is the culture generally. The problem is that county cricket has been weakened for a decade now by taking people out of it, sending them to Loughborough. England players not been involved in the domestic game. It's been ruined by young player incentives, which has seen a generation of experienced players leave the game early instead of passing their knowledge down to the next generation. It's been over-regulation, the ECB boiling something very precious, not recognising how good it was, And also the fact that England and cricket generally is picking players from a very small base. We pick players generally in England, well, there's a decent pocket of players in Yorkshire, Lancashire, Durham, Devon and Staffordshire. Then you've just got the public schools and South Africa with British heritage. So actually what we need is really radical. We need to have cricket in schools, we need to have cricket on free-to-air TV, we need it to be the sport that the best athletes growing up in society want to play. And you don't do that by sacking one England coach. I mean, that's just, you know, I'm afraid the problems are far more serious than just kicking Peter Laws because we're all annoyed.
So what you're saying there, George, is that it is really a long-term approach that is needed now.
It's a pretty long-term approach, but I mean, there's been quite a long-term dismantling of everything good in the English game, which they've been doing. They almost just need to butt out of it and let people play. There's so much ability out there still, but we need less regulation, which we sort of need to get back to county cricket in about 2002. You know when two divisions were brought in 2000, when there was promotion and relegation,
yeah.
Four-day cricket, good overseas players. There weren't the work permit issues. If they had brought in much tougher work permits to get rid of Colpack players. I said at the time that by doing that, they dilute standards. Now, I understand they did it for all those things with the best of intentions, but they interfered. They just interfered. And now, most of the counties, at least half of them, probably more, have to fulfill all the young player incentives. They have to have two players under 22, three more under 25, so that they get the money from the ECB for fielding young England qualified sides. And that is one of the first priorities rather than quality. So it means that a 29-year-old who might not be England quality, but is a good county player, will struggle to stay in the game. And Anthony Glass type figure, for example, very, very fine player, not going to play a lot for England, I know quite a bit, but those sorts of players might become quite scarce. And actually, they're a huge benefit to the English game. They're quality players. They've got a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge. And I think we've got to get back to my own view. We've got to get back to valuing county cricket first and foremost, cherishing it, making it as strong as we can be, and then just picking the best players to go and play for England. If they play too much, that's another issue. But, you know, I mean, these are big problems, but they can be turned around in 5 or 6 years. I'm absolutely sure they can be.
Do you think, George, that actually, even though this, you know, everybody's reacting quite badly to this over the last 24 hours, and it's really, really disappointing to see an England side go out in the group stages, do you think in the end this actually might be a good thing for the English game? Because maybe they will now start asking even more broader questions about how the game's run over here.
Well, yeah, I think it could be. I mean, what you're saying is, could it be a wake-up call? Yes, I think it will be and is, and that, yeah, you're right, you could probably find positives in a lot of negative moments. Will they make the right decisions? I mean, I don't know if you saw, but I did a story a couple of weeks ago. I leaked the document that the ECB are considering at the moment, and some of the things they're considering are ludicrous. I mean, they are not the sort of decisions that you want to trust people governing the game to be in control of. So they're talking about, among other things, three-day cricket again. They're talking about one division. They're talking about bowling 110 overs a day. I mean, they're just ludicrous. And I worry that those with agendas, and this 2020 franchise agenda is massive, will use this disappointment to force through their own ideas. And their own ideas are only really going to help their own bank balances. They're not necessarily going to help English cricket. And the 2020 franchise thing is a complete myth. Not really going to help. So that's the worry. I think Colin Graves' intentions are good. But I just think that he needs to calm down and reflect a little bit more and actually discuss a little bit more some of the things he's doing. Because at the moment he's wandering in. And while his executive team may have been wrong in many ways in the past, he is undermining them in a very public way. So he is talking about KP, for example, coming back into the side. OK, I agree with him as it happens. But if you're James Whitton, the selector, if you're Paul Downs, the managing director, if you're Peter Morse, the coach, all of which have said he's not coming back, how do you feel today? You feel undermined, don't you? If he's coming in and saying we've got to talk about 2020 franchises, how do you feel if you're Gordon Sullins, the chief operating officer of the ECB, who's 1 year into a four-year redevelopment of 2020? And actually, it's going quite well. I mean, it didn't have a great year last year. that they will have record figures in 2015. And Colin Graves has come in, and before he's even taken office, he said, well, that's all going to change. And you just think, well, you know, what's your background for these decisions? Because actually, you were party to the decision to give a four-year deal to that contract, you know, a four-year redevelopment. So I'm not sure that Colin Graves is the answer already. But, you know, I know that he is studying these things, so I hope he will take a deep breath before acting, because just firing a couple of people won't really help.
George, it's always an absolute pleasure to talk to you. On one point you made earlier on, I'm particularly looking forward to going and seeing the Downton Owl Sanctuary. But I think that will be a perfect day out for all the family.
If you think, just on that, yeah?
Yeah.
If he gets, say, 200 grand a year,
yeah.
What has he done for that 200 grand in the year? He's come in and he's sacked the highest run scorer in England history. And how's that going for England since they did it? How's it going? And they sacked him because, what, he sent a couple of text messages they didn't like. Well, you know, he should see my phone. What else has he done? What has he done to improve English cricket for his 200 grand? So I'm not saying don't sack him. I'm just saying if you want to sack him, don't think that that's going to solve any problems. It's just going to save you 200 grand. But the one thing that English cricket doesn't need is more money. I mean, they're awash with it. And they're just spending it extremely badly. They need to get rid of a lot of the coaches. They need to get rid of a lot of the backroom stuff. All they do, the players say this to me. Yeah? They can't say it publicly because they'll never play again. They say that all these guys, they just add anxiety to the dressing room. We could save loads of money and just let the players, they look fearful. These are good, talented players. And, you know, Gus Butler and Joe Root and Alex Hales and Lunelli, these are the best batsmen in England, you know. They're the best young batsmen in England. Let them play. Let them play with joy and without fear. And when you've got a room full of middle-aged fellas with clipboards, marking their every mood, it doesn't help. They don't relax. I'm sorry, I'm ranting, aren't I?
No, it's always enjoyable, George, to hear you, because you're so passionate about it as well. And it's always
enjoyable.
Well, I am.
Enjoyable. I mean, it's good to care, yeah? I stopped caring, the day I stopped doing the job.
No, exactly, and that's why we love talking to you, George. Listen, have a very, very safe journey home, and we'll catch up with you very shortly. Thanks very much, George.
Look forward to it. Cheers, fellas.